Psalm 23. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, somebody say surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let the church say amen. Father, I pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Thank you for the living water. It quenches our thirst. Forgive us for looking for quenching anywhere else but thee. We thank you for all you're doing in our lives. But not just all you're doing, but we thank you for who you are. And Lord, we pray, God, that as you speak to us today, and you speak through me, that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross that Jesus would be seen, that Jesus would be magnified. We are not so ignorant to think that the devil is not busy. So we ask that you bind him and protect this place. Keep him from interfering with the service today. May the Holy Spirit move freely. May he be in charge. If somebody in the building has ever tasted of that living water, might today be that day. But that one comes to saving knowledge of the truth. We love you and we thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. There are more than 500 references to sheep in the Bible. In those days, sheep represented cheap wealth. Livelihood of people, providing food to eat, milk to drink, wool for clothing, and for covering of tents. Sheep were also used as a medium of exchange and a source of sacrifices. Valuable sheep are. But as valuable as they have always been, their very nature is gentle. Submissive, gullible, if you would. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Isaiah 53:7, Jeremiah 11:19 reads this way. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I know not that they had devices against me. Sheep are depicted as gullible, as dumb, if you would. Defenseless. Micah 5:8 says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who, if he go through both, treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Listen to Micah 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpent and harmless as doves. Sheep are in the need of constant need of guidance and care. Numbers 27:17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Matthew 9:36, Jesus saw the people scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. Not intelligent, as the songwriter said. Prone to wander. They must be guided. They must be led. They must be defended. They must be sheltered. They must be looked out for. They need a shepherd. David, a shepherd himself, understood the significance of this office and even the greater need of sheep. He understood what sheep were like. He understood what sheep were in need of. So no wonder this psalm must have meant so much to him. And no wonder this psalm has been one of the most popularly loved, recited, and memorized scriptures of all. How many of you grew up as children quoting the 23rd Psalm? Whether it is read as a funeral, whether it is recited by a child, whether it is depicted in a song, whether it is posted on a picture, whether it is documented or merely pondered in one's heart. I think we would all have to admit today there is just something special about the 23rd Psalm. Why? Why? Why was it so special? Why did it mean so much to David? I believe because David understood that not only was he a shepherd, but he was also a sheep. By nature, gently submissive, gullible, unintelligent, defenseless, in constant need of guidance and care, prone to wonder, with an inherent need to be led, to be sheltered, to be looked out for, just as he was a shepherd. David needed a shepherd. Just as you and I, we need a shepherd with much excitement, with much peace, with much confidence. He must have drawn comfort, if you would, from knowing what all of us who have come to name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ knew and can say. Please listen, ladies and gentlemen. David understood what those sheep were like that he cared for, and he knew that they couldn't make it without him. He knew that they couldn't move the right way without him. He knew that they couldn't survive without him. He knew that they needed him in his place, but he also knew as a sheep he could not survive without God. He was too dumb, too defenseless, too gullible, too prone to wonder. He knew he'd end up in a ditch. He'd drown in nonsense. He'd be lost in heresy. He'd be billowed over by sin if he didn't have a shepherd. But with much joy, he picked up his pen in Psalm 23:1, and no wonder he had excitement, because he said, "The Lord," not man, not some human being, not some boy, not some coach, not some parent. The Lord, the Creator, Jehovah, the ruler, the Master, the King, the Lord is my shepherd. And I say to you today, aren't you glad that you can say it with David? The Lord is my shepherd. Might I say, it's important for us to realize that not everybody can quote this psalm. It's important for us to realize that not everybody in the world can claim these verses. Come on now. There are a lot of people quoting it, but it wasn't written to them. There are a lot of people saying it, but it doesn't apply to them. I'm going to tell you why David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." David knew the Lord. Come on now, he had trusted in the Lord. I don't know about you, it's good to be saved, amen. It's good to know the Lord is our Savior. I'm glad. Hey, listen to me. There are a lot of people can say, "The Lord is my Creator." There are a lot of people can say, "The Lord is my Sustainer." There are a lot of people that can say, "The Lord is the God of the universe." There are some soloists, and there are some athletes, and there are some celebrities can win an award and say, "He's the man upstairs," or "He's the supreme being." And by the way, he's not the man upstairs. He's the Heavenly Father. By the way, he is the supreme being. There's nobody like him. There's nobody bigger than him. There's nobody above him. But David said, "I'm not just recognizing he made me. I'm not just recognizing he controls the world. I'm not just recognizing he created everything. But I'm recognizing that when I know him for the full pardon of my sin, and I've entered a relationship with him, he's more than just a boss, a creator, and a controller. He is my shepherd." And I want to tell you today, if you know the Lord, you have a shepherd. Not just any shepherd, you have the best shepherd. Come on now. Not just an average shepherd, you have the best shepherd. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on, say it with me. The Lord is my, come on, say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't it possible to live in this crazy world and forget the Lord is my shepherd? Isn't it possible to have a bunch of bills due and forget the Lord is my shepherd? Isn't it possible to be caught up in unknowns and uncertainties and forget the Lord is my shepherd? Isn't it possible to lay on a hospital bed not knowing what the news will come and forget that the Lord is my shepherd? I didn't come here today to talk about everybody and everything else. Thank God for friends. Thank God for family. Thank God for freedom. But I didn't come here to talk about him. I came here today to talk about the Lord is my shepherd. And I won't take the next couple of weeks to break down this psalm. You know, I've heard it quoted a lot. I haven't heard it preached on a lot. And I'm concerned that sometimes we go to quote and stuff. We don't even know what it means. Amen. Honey, I got snot on my nose. All right. Listen, you know how that happened enough times and I find out afterwards. So I'm just asking now. All right. All right. I know you said y'all looking at me funny the whole message. I was going with you, but every time I looked up that snot on your nose, I knew he's my shepherd, but I wasn't thinking about shepherd. I was thinking about snot. All right. So let's just get that on out the way. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? What does it mean if the Lord is my shepherd? I mean, does that matter to you? Is it just a cliche? Is it just a quote? Is it just something to recite at a funeral? Is it just something to mark in our Bibles? Is it just something to memorize as a kid? Or does it mean something to be saved? Does it mean something for God to be? Does it mean something for Jesus to run your life? I'm here to tell you, yes, it does. The Lord is my shepherd. If you're taking notes today, first of all, the Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? Complete satisfaction. Come on now. Complete satisfaction. I love the next statement. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean, David? That means I shall not want. Come on now. I shall not want. There's nothing I'm missing. There's nothing I'm lacking. There's nothing I'm needing. What do you mean if he provides complete satisfaction? That means by nature he has an inherent sensitivity to me. Watch this now. If the shepherd makes sure that I shall not want, then guess what? Without my even telling him, he knows what I need. He knows when I'm hurt. He knows when I'm struggling. Somebody in the building today is going through something and nobody you talk to seems to understand it, and nobody around you feel comfortable sharing it with it, and nobody can jump in your mind and engage that battle with you. But I'm here to tell you something about the shepherd. Without opening your mouth, he knows what's in your mind. Without speaking a word, he knows what you're going through. He's an inherent sensitivity. He's an infinite source. Watch this now. I shall not want. In order for me not to have a need, he's got to be a God that can do anything. Shall not what? Somebody in the building is saying, Pastor, I thought you said the Lord is my shepherd, but there are a lot of things I want for. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. See, when you refuse to acknowledge the satisfaction you have in Jesus, then you go look for it somewhere else. Come on, come on, come on. I'm telling you, if you're single and not married, you can be satisfied till God brings you the right spouse. Come on now, if you're sick and not well, you can be satisfied until God heals your body. Come on, listen to me. If you don't have enough money in the bank, you can be satisfied that God will take care of. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what makes us different when we get saved. See, people out in the world, they don't have Jesus in their heart. They don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. They don't have heaven as their home. They don't have God as their father. They don't have the word of God as their guide. So what do? They get up every day and they look to drugs and alcohol and sex and rebellion trying to find satisfaction. David said, I don't have to do that. I have a shepherd. Complete satisfaction. Notice number two. Not only do I have a shepherd that provides me complete satisfaction, but notice number two, I have a shepherd. That means I have a controlled supply. Come on now. He gonna make sure I get what I need. A controlled supply. I want you to notice the next couple words in this verse that stand out to me. And the reason why I labeled it controlled supply. Watch verse number 2. He maketh me. Everybody say, he maketh me. And then the next part of the verse says, he leadeth me. Everybody say, he leadeth me. Now watch this now. There are a lot of things that offer supply to you, but the problem is the supply will run out unless it's controlled by somebody that makes sure that it doesn't run out. Watch this now. There are a lot of people that claim to take good care of you, and you go to where they send you and find out that nothing is there to take care of you. Here's what David said. God not only supplies, but he controls the supply. In other words, he leads me, and he not only has what I need, but he makes sure I go to where I can find it. Divine placement. He maketh me. He maketh me. Watch this now. The placement of God. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is God's providence. This is how God somehow manages to use the circumstances going on in our lives. Somehow manages to use the happenings, whether fortunate and unfortunate in our lives, to let us know that even though something bad happened to you doesn't mean that a good God lost control. Come on now. When you walk into a room and the doctor says something you don't want to hear, and you walk in and you pick up the phone and get some news that you weren't expecting, and you think, oh my goodness, this caught me off guard. This was a surprise. I wasn't expecting. Wait a minute now. The shepherd is still in control. Nothing caught him by surprise. God never says oops. He maketh me. Watch this now. He maketh me to what? Lie down. Here's what David said about his divine placement. He gives me a purposeful downtime. Come on now. I don't know about you, and God has to help me with this. Sometimes he has to make me lie down. Amen. We think we're Superman, don't we? And we think we can go. And we think we can conquer the world. But here's what David said. Here's what my shepherd does. He knows this. I just need to lie down. Come on now. Sometimes I just need to be still. Sometimes I just need to stay right there. Sometimes I just need to cool it right now. Sometimes I just need to chill. Hey, listen to me. We're so busy trying to conquer the world and fix all our problems and make successes out of our lives. And David says, sometimes I just got to look at the master, and the master said, lie down. Sometimes a trial makes you lie down. A difficulty makes you lie down. Come on now. I just got a text from one of my preacher friends, Dr. Johnny Pope. I've known him preach all over the country and all over the world for many years. Just had a surgery just this week because he's had migraines for years, and they went up in his sinuses to try to do that surgery. And he texted me this morning and said, I feel well enough to go to church, but anytime I exude any energy or effort, I start bleeding. So I've got to be still. And he said, my wife, Dr. Mrs. Pope, said, I'm not going to preach today, so I'm going to sit in church. And he was saying, you know, it's not easy when you're used to being busy and you have to sit still. But he said last night, the stillness has reminded me to pray more and talk to God more. Somebody in the building said, I don't like the red lights. I don't like the traffic jams. I don't like to be slowed down. I don't like God to make me wait. But sometimes that's the shepherd's way of saying, lie down. A purposeful downtime. Divine placement not only gives me a purposeful downtime, but a proper diet. Come on now. Green pastures. Amen. Here's what David said. My shepherd, he don't stop me just anywhere. He stopped me at green places. Come on now, a proper diet. Aren't you glad that even when God breaks you down, he breaks you down somewhere where you can eat? Amen. And you just think, well, God, why'd you put me here? And God, why'd you stop me here? And God, why'd you slow me down here? And some of you are thinking, when you break down, there ain't nothing around here. Ain't no fast food. Ain't no gas station. Ain't even no a reception for your cell phone. But how many know that God knows how to put up a gas station in the middle of nowhere? He knows how to send ravens, meat eating birds to bring you some meat. He knows how to get a broke widow to sustain you when she doesn't even know how to sustain herself. I'm telling you, God makes you lie down in green pastures. You say, it feels like a desert. It feels like sorrow. It feels like something went wrong. My friend, if God told you to lie down, it will be green pastures. Divine placement. Notice the directed pleasure. He leadeth me beside the what? Still waters. He leadeth me. I must relinquish my will. He can't lead me if I don't follow. Somebody say amen. Come on. Pastor, I'm thirsty. God, I'm thirsty. Church, I'm thirsty. Well, if you are, then why don't you follow his leading? Come on. I need something in me that I can't seem to find. Why don't you follow his leading? I got something missing in my life. Why don't you follow his, relinquish your will? He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Hey, God's the strongest person in all of the world, but even he can't lead you if you won't follow. There must be a relinquished will, but notice there's a refreshing wonder. Notice he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Listen to me. He's walking me. He's walking me. He's progressing me. He's guiding me. He's directing me, but he takes me a route that's beside the still water. Watch this now. He makes sure that I have the refreshment I need along the way to keep on going. The relinquished will, the refreshing wonder, the reviving wealth, the rejuvenating work. Let me tell you something. You think God doesn't know you get tired? You think God doesn't know you get famished? You think God doesn't know about your trials? You think God doesn't know about your burdens? You think God doesn't know about your sickness? You think God doesn't know about your will? You think God doesn't know about your death? God knows about your problems even better than you know about your problems. Follow him. He's going to lead you beside the still waters. And by the way, not the rapid waters, the still waters. He not only refreshes me and rejuvenates me, but he rejuvenates me in a way where it's peaceful. Hey, listen. The last thing you need when your head is rumbling is to be next to something else that's rumbling. Amen. And by the way, it's good for us to understand that with people. Amen. When people are going through turmoil, the last thing they need is some more of your turmoil. Amen. Amen. What'd you get diagnosed with? Oh, you got diagnosed with that? Oh, that's the same thing my aunt died from. Listen to me. That's the last thing you need to say to somebody going through a tough time. Listen to me. If it's rumbling in their head, they need still waters outside of their head. If it's chaotic in there, they need a calm out there. Aren't you glad that he leaves me beside the still water? He doesn't kick me while I'm down. Number three, complete satisfaction. A controlled supply. Number three, contributed strength. I want you to get this. He restoreth my soul. Amen. He restores me. Watch this now. He gets me back right. Now listen to me. I didn't yell that, but that doesn't mean you can't say aloud amen. I said he gets me back right. Because see, if you don't amen when I say he gets me back right, you're insinuating you've never been wrong. Somebody help me preach. Prone to wonder how I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Amen. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and shield it. Shield it with all with thy love. Listen to me. Here's what the songwriter said. I know me. I'm prone to do the wrong thing. I'm prone to mess up. Are you glad you're saved? Say amen. You know what that means? God lives inside of you. You know what that means? He's washed your sins away. You know what that means? All your hope is in Jesus. You know what that means? You never spend 1 second in a place called. You know what that means? That the Holy Ghost lives inside. You know what that means? You've been adopted to the family of God. You've been justified as if you've never sinned or whatever. You know what that means? You've been set apart as God's chosen. You know what that means? You are an inheritor of an inheritance incorruptible. You know what that means? That one day the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to get out of here.
But we still mess up.
Here's what David says. He restores my soul. Come on now. He restores my soul. What do you mean restores? Timely correction. Now, we don't like it sometimes, but we need it. Come on now. When the sheep does what he shouldn't do, the shepherd corrects him. Timely. Now watch this now. Some authorities are right in the fact they correct, but they're wrong in the way they correct. I mean, is it possible to correct someone the wrong way? to embarrass them, to be harsh, to do it in a way that's not conducive to that person's restoration. I mean, doesn't Galatians chapter 6 tell us how to correct people? Brethren, if a one be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Restore such an one. The commentators tell us that restoration in Galatians chapter 6 mirrors resetting a bone back in a delicate way. The doctor can't just jerk the bone back in place. It has to be reset back in a delicate way. Why? Because it is reset back in a properly delicate way. So after it's reset, it can function as it first functioned. Are you listening to me now? Here's what God says. When you mess up, and when you fail, and when you stumble, and when you slip, somebody say amen if I'm talking about you, and when you do some things you regret, and you go some places you shouldn't have gone, and you say some things you shouldn't say, somebody in the building right now, you're having trouble serving God because somebody that you know told you, you ain't no good anymore. You're damaged goods. You're wasted. And you're living under the oppression of guilt and of shame. Your past keeps haunting you. And your mistakes keep messing you up. You think you got started too late. You think your background's too embarrassing. You think your talents are too low. You think your eligibility for God is not current. I'm here to tell you, God knows how to take every time you messed up, every time you fail, every time you let him down, and set you back right so you can do what you were intended to do. He restoreth my soul. Timely correction. Huh? Thorough cleansing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You can't be restored if your sins aren't cleansed. He not only has to correct us, but he has to cleanse us. And then tender compassion. He does it with love. In the spirit of meekness, he restores my soul. Please understand, what is the soul? The soul is a part of you that lives eternally. Huh? In the Bible, the soul is your personality. It's your mind, your emotions, and your will. Huh? I don't know about you, doesn't your mind need to get back right? Come on, don't your emotion need to get back right? Do you ever wake up feeling some type of way? Come on. And then our will. Have we ever been stubborn with God? Come on, I'm talking about fully engaged in a campaign of disobedience. Marching with pride contrary to where God sent us. Boarding a ship like Jonah that's opposite the direction he sent us. Come on now. Numbering the people like David when we know that God said no. Asking God again like Balaam when he was clear when he answered the first time. Come on now. Eating the fruit like Adam, like God didn't give us a bunch of other trees to eat off of. Somebody help me preach. You know there have been times when we failed God. You may be sitting in the building this morning fully engaged in a willful act that's contrary to the teaching of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Some of us today oftentimes have to regurgitate the failures that we made and say, God, I'm sorry again. God, I'm sorry again. God, I'm sorry again. I'm telling you what you did 10 years ago that God forgave you of, what you did yesterday that God forgave you of. He not only corrects you, he not only cleanses you, but it'll show you your compassion to restore you. He restoreth my soul. I did a lot of reading this week on cardioversion because Pastor Mike said they're gonna cardiovert me on Friday. So, Tuesday. And so I wanted to know what cardioversion is. You know, they take these pads and put them up to your chest. And they're going to shock your heart to restart it. Here's the goal. That when it restarts, it beats back on rhythm again. Now you hear that. I mean, something that's done quite often. But you can't think about it without getting a little nervous. Particularly when the last time they shocked your heart, it stopped. So cardioversion, they're going to give you anesthesia because I don't think it's something you'd like to be awake for. And then they're going to make sure that doctors are there and they're going to align it, and they're going to take proper precautions beforehand by putting a scope down to make sure that there's no clotting in you, because if they shock you and there's clotting, then that provides danger of fatality. So you're listening to all these things, and you're listening to these doctors, and of course, every time that a doctor tells you about a favorable procedure, he's required to tell you about the possible risk. And no matter how many percentages they tell you that the procedure is going to be successful, you can't ignore listening to them risks. They're like getting on the airplane. Well, they say this all the time. In risk of an evacuation, you think, oh, Lord, I don't want to know how to get off this plane until it lands. And you start thinking to yourself, how many people have actually gotten the chance to use those procedures? And yet they still have to go over them. And there's possible that it could happen, and there's always a chance of this, and we're dealing with this, and you've had this before, but we do this all the time, and in most cases it works, and we may have to do it again, and all these things. And I'm thinking, okay, this is going on Tuesday, and I'm up in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm thinking, I mean, the nerve of them to schedule this while I'm not here. Why didn't the surgeon call me first? And what a joy it was when I got news not long after that not only had they done the procedure, but he was awake and the heart was back on rhythm. No, amen, amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. That means when they hooked up those pads, and eventually they used the defibrillator that was already in his heart to do the shocking, but when they executed that shock, it was the goal to shock it in such a way that the heart resets and goes back to doing what it was doing before, so that the individual can function properly as he was intended to function. I talked to Pastor Mike and said, when I woke up, he said, as soon as I woke up, I felt right. I knew something was right. I didn't realize how wrong I was until I started feeling right again. Because for 3 or 4 days, that heart had been beating in AFib, and it had been erratically quivering all over the place. 130 and then 90 and 115 and 140 and then 120. That's not the way the heart's supposed to be beating all over the place. And he said, once it started beating the right way, he sent me a text that read like this. Bum, 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 bum. At first I had to look at, see what it means. I said, oh, he's trying to tell me that's how the right rhythm sounds. He talked different. He felt different. He acted different, because something that was made to beat the right way was finally beating right again. I want to tell you, I meet too many Christians that are up here, down here, over here, over here. They can't pray right. They can't think right. They can't sing right. They can't serve right. They can't worship right. In church, in sin, happy, sad, stressed out, joyful, can't figure it out. God didn't save you to be up, down, and all the way around. Maybe today your shepherd needs to put the pads up to you. Maybe he needs to numb you with some Holy Ghost anesthesia. Maybe he needs to let his powerful hand remind you, I want you stable. I want you right. I want your own rhythm. And I'm telling you, my friend, when he restores your soul, you'll realize you didn't know how bad it was. Do you see how good it can be? And one good thing about this shepherd, he has no risk. He has no possibility of failure. You don't have to worry about him messing up, because man ain't doing this procedure. This procedure is being done by the shepherd. David said, he restores my soul. Maybe today you need some restoration. You won't realize how off you were till you get back on. God, and we all get there where the circumstances of life have our hearts beating erratically. And something's not right. Come on now. And how many know you can't psych yourself into making your heart beat right? Come on now. Somebody today needs some spiritual cardioversion. And here's what David said. It's good about my Lord. When I'm in AFib and I can't seem to get this heart of mine back on rhythm. He can. He can. And He restores me in such a way that I can get back to doing what He intended me to do in the first place. David must have been thinking, I'm a pretty good shepherd with my sheep, but I ain't nothing like that shepherd. And here's why. David can only be so good of a shepherd because David is a man. But David said, the one who's got my back, he's perfect. And here's why. The Lord is my shepherd. Our Father, restore us. Sometimes we're too proud to admit we need restoration. To get beating back the right way. Sometimes we get so used to being erratic, we think it's normal. God help us. Restore our soul. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Let me say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Let me put your hands down. I wonder how many of you today say, Pastor, I've been reminded that He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I need what He provides today. God bless you. All over the building, would you raise your hand? Come on. Come on. And why don't you let Him do it? Is it possible for Him to be able to do it and for you not to be experiencing it? Sure it is. If you won't cooperate, if I won't cooperate. One more question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you for being honest. Someone else. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anyone like that, just slip up your hand long enough for me to see it. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Can I see your hand, ma'am? Someone else? I'm not sure. Thank you, ma'am. God bless your honesty. We're not going to pick on you or single you out. We're trying to introduce you to a shepherd who doesn't want you to be confused over your eternal destiny. Anyone else, Pastor? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Anyone else? I'm going to say to those that just raised your hand, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and let somebody take a Bible. Not Crossroads Baptist Church policies. A Bible, and settle it once and for all. To know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved, that the Lord is your shepherd. How in the world can you live a successful Christian life if you're unsure whether or not you're a Christian? So in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come. And even if you just say, I think I did it, but I'm not sure, to let somebody pray with you and talk you through it and show you what the Bible says, because the Bible trumps your emotions. Let's stand together all over the building. If you're here today and you're not a member of a good church, you need to find information about it. If you'd like to come speak with one of our deacons or their wives to talk about those issues, we'd be glad to help you with that too. Father, would you bless this invitation time? Move in our midst for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.